Good morning and warm word of welcome to each and to everyone to our morning service coming to you from Six Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church. I want to thank you for coming and for joining in with us at this time. As you can imagine, we're changing back to that format of being online only. And whilst we would love to have you here, we are so thankful that you are joining with us even via the online means this morning. I'm going to just start with the announcements for the incoming week. As you can imagine, these are greatly changed and very different as well. But do remember our service this evening at 7 p.m. and it will be completely online on our YouTube channel as well. And we do invite you to make that effort to come back again this evening and to even come around God's precious word. We will be returning this evening to the studies in the book of Acts and to the church at Antioch there in Acts chapter 11. And it is our prayer that the Lord will bless and even use those messages to his own glory. Our services end for the remainder of the week. Begin tomorrow evening with our online children's meeting at 7:15. And that, as always, is uploaded to both our YouTube and our Facebook pages. And we do encourage you to pray over those services and to make even them well known to others in the area. And it is our prayer that many of the children of this area will be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our midweek Bible study meeting and normal prayer meeting will be at 8 p.m. on Wednesday evening, and again it will be in the online format only. And so we do encourage you to come and to study God's word with us, and then as that service comes to a close, to spend some time in prayer in your own homes and pray that the Lord will bless and even move in these days, and that the Lord will bless this work. Next Friday evening also will be a presbytery meeting for our members of session, and it will be online as well. And when those details come in, we will pass them out to the members of session. Then the services next Sunday at the normal times of 11:30 and 7 p.m. and I'll be here to minister in both of those services. Again, at this time, they'll be completely online next week. And it is our prayer that the Lord will bless these efforts in these days. We think of the earlier lockdown in the year and how many were reached with the gospel, how many heard the word of God being preached. And even at this time, once again, it is our earnest prayer that many more, even in this area, in this locality, will be reached with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. But do pray for those meetings and pray that the Lord will richly bless each effort that is made for his honour and for his glory. Now we're going to start our service today with some of our congregation members taking part. And our first item of praise this morning will be our sister Sarah Fleming playing the piano to us. And she's going to play that to us just now. Thank our sister Sarah for playing that piece for us, and certainly it's very fitting at this time that our minds and our hearts are drawn towards the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of ages. We're going to commit ourselves to the Lord in prayer at this time. Encourage you, even wherever you are, just to even bow your heads and bow your hearts as we look to the Lord for his blessing and for his help at this time. Let's all pray together. Eternal God and loving Father in heaven, we do thank thee and praise thee this day for this thy day. We thank thee, O God, for the measure of health and strength that thou hast given to us once again, that we can be up, that we can be even rejoicing in thy day, that we can be giving our glory and our praise and our worship unto thee. We thank thee, O God, for the truth and the glorious doctrine of this first day of the week, that our Saviour, the God-man himself, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, we do rejoice that on the first day of the week he arose from the dead, and he lives in that power of an endless life. We thank thee, O God, this day that our Saviour has entered into glory itself. He's seated at thy right hand. And, O God, we thank thee for the intercession that he makes on our behalf. Lord, it is our earnest desire once again in this thy day that all of the praise, all of the glory, and all of our hearts' worship, even this day, will be given to the Lord and to him alone. O God, we realize that these circumstances in which we are worshiping this day have greatly changed once again. Lord, we do long for the opportunity to be together, to be worshiping in thy house together. But, O God, we thank thee that in these days of this pandemic, in these days of isolation, Lord, that we can still have our worship, we can still have our praise unto thee. We thank thee, O God, that our God is not one that is confined to the walls of a building, but rather our God is in the heavens and he's in the earth. And Father in heaven, we come to thee this day and we seek thee for thy blessing. We seek thee for thy help upon this service as we conduct it here and as each one watches in their various localities. Lord, that thou wilt bless, that thou wilt move, that thou wilt speak, that thou wilt encourage, O God, even through thy word. And this day that all of the honour, the praise and the glory will be to thee and to thee alone. Lord, do remember each one, we pray thee. Remember our congregation at this time. We commit each one of them into thy hands. We do think especially of our elderly. We think of our sick. We think of those that are mourning within our family circle at this time in terms of the church family. O Lord, that thou wilt draw near to them, that they will know thy hand of blessing, that they will know thy hand of comfort and mercy upon them. Lord, we pray that thou wilt strengthen each one, that thou wilt encourage. And O God, even this day and in the days that lie ahead, that we will know what it is to have the Rock of Ages even with us, that we will know what it is to be standing with that sure foundation upon the Lord Jesus Christ. O Father, we thank thee that we're not facing the attacks and we're not facing the dilemmas and the stresses and the trials all on our own. For we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who has promised never to leave us and to never forsake us. And, O God, we cling to thee in these days. We cleave to thee. We think even as we were beginning to study last week in the book of Acts, in the chapter 11 there, as Barnabas came to the church in Antioch, and he encouraged him, exhorted them to cleave on to the Lord. O God, that we would cleave on to thee in these days, that we will not put our confidence in any other, but we will put our faith and our trust completely in the Lord and in him alone. O Father, we realize that there are so many that are trying so desperately hard to remove this pandemic, and yet the efforts of man are nothing. We need the hand, we need the power, we need the intervention of God. And Father, we pray that thou wilt blow upon this pandemic, that thou wilt rid our land of it, that thou wilt, O God, open up our churches once again, open up all of the avenues of effort that we seek to do for thee, whether it be in this church, whether it be in our other churches, whether it be with our missionaries. O God, that thou wilt enable each and every one to be working for thee, to be busy for thee once again. We pray for the spiritual need of our land. We pray, O God, that thou wilt work upon it. We ask thee, O God, in these days of darkness, these days of wickedness and rebellion towards thee, towards thy word, O God, that thou wilt send us a revival, that thou wilt revive thy church, that thou wilt revive, O God, thy pulpits, that thou wilt revive, O God, each and every member of the church, each and every individual that is saved by the grace of God. And then that revival, O God, will turn into a spiritual awakening in our land, that the darkness will be dispelled by the glorious light of the gospel, that men and women will turn away from sin and put their faith and trust in thee. O Father, we thank thee already this year that souls have been saved. We thank thee, O God, even though that we've been greatly restricted in the efforts that could be made from this church and from all of our churches. And yet the gospel has entered into hearts. And the gospel, O God, has brought about that saving faith and repentance within the sinner. O Lord, do it even in these 2 weeks, even as we enter into the last month of the year. O Father, may we know the power of God upon the preaching. May we know and see the signs of God following after the preaching, that souls are saved, that backsliders are restored, and that the children of Jesus Christ are growing in their most precious faith. Remember every effort this day. O Father, we commit unto Thee and into Thy hands all of our ministers, and each and every one who is handling the Word this day, whether it be via the remote means like this, or whether it be in the drive-in services, whatever the occasion may be, O God, grant the power, grant the help, and grant, O God, the glory to be given to Christ and to Christ alone. Lord, hear us this day, and do us good. Bless in the remainder of our time together in the reading of Thy Word, in the various pieces of praise, in the preaching forth of Thy Word. O God, grant us help, grant us grace, and glorify Thy Son. In His name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, we want to turn and read our psalm for the week. Together we're coming today to Psalm 84. To Psalm 84 as we continue reading a psalm a week together as a congregation. And as I say, this week it is Psalm 84 that we want to read with you. It is entitled, To the Chief Musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. We're going to read all 12 verses together, beginning at the verse 1. And the Word of God says, How amiable are Thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even Thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in Thy house. They will be still praising Thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in Thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of Thine anointed. For a day in Thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold for them, from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Amen. And may God write His own word upon our hearts once again. What wonderful words are found even in the remainder are those closing verses of the psalm. You'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. You think of the blessings that are found in the verse 11. He gives grace, He gives glory, and no good thing will He withhold from His children. Blessed is the man, or happy is the man, that trusteth in Thee. My, what joy is to be found whenever we're following after the Lord, whenever we're serving Him, whenever we're living for Him. There's joy unspeakable even in our hearts. We're going to have one more item of praise just before we come to the preaching of God's Word, and our sister Jessica Cuthbertson is going to minister in song to us. Thank you. to thank Jessica for ministering song to us and for those beautiful words. And certainly we have a wonderful friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible, now can you turn it to 1 Kings in the chapter 18, please? 1 Kings in the chapter 18 as we continue our series in the days in the life of Elijah. 1 Kings 18, and we're going to read some of the verses together, breaking in once again at the verse 17. 1 Kings in the chapter 18, and we're going to commence reading at the verse 17. 1 Kings 18, and the verse 17, the word of God says, "It came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou, and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and all the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye in the name of your gods, and I will call in the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading once again of his precious and his infallible word. Today, as we come to the series of Elijah, we're looking today at the fight of Elijah. The fight of Elijah. Let's have a moment's prayer, please, as we look to the Lord for his help. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee already for thy help given. O God, in this service, we thank thee for the means that we have even to broadcast these services, and Lord, to even proclaim and to preach the word of God. And Father, as we come once again around thy word, as we come to continue our series in the life of Elijah, we do pray once again that thou wilt bless us. We pray once again that thou wilt enable us, that thou wilt fill us with thy spirit, that thou wilt give us that mouth, that matter, that wisdom even from on high. And O God, that thy word will even strike into each and to every heart, that every heart will be dealt with in accordance with thy will and in the way that they need to be dealt with, that thou wilt encourage thy children, that thou wilt draw back the backslider into the fold, that thou wilt save the lost. O Father, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. O come this day, we pray thee, work in hearts, glorify thy Son, in Jesus' name. Amen. During the Reformation, it was highlighted to one of the reformers that all the world is against you. The reply came back from the reformer undauntedly. He said, Then I am against all of the world. Indeed, the tombstone of John Knox, it displays the inscription, Here lies the man who never feared the face of clay. The years of the Reformation brought many fights and many battles that had to be faced by God's children. And certainly each one of them, their testimony was that they never backed down in the face of that great adversity. Indeed, you think of the famous statement which Martin Luther gave at the Diet of Worms, and it sums it up so well, all of the reformers together, when he declared before all of the emperor and all of those men, he said, Here I stand, I can do no other, so help me God. Amen. And as Elijah comes before Ahab, and certainly we can see that once again he is fearless, just as he was at the beginning of his ministry when he went in and proclaimed that sermon of judgment, that declaration that there would be no rain, he once again comes before Ahab and he is fearless. He is standing before his great enemy. And even though the heart of his enemy is against him, there is much hatred that is evident towards him, yet he is undeterred. He remains steadfast. He stands unmovable. He is abounding in the work of the Lord, for what he faces in the remainder of this chapter is certainly a great fight. It is like nothing he has ever faced before. If you think throughout 1 Kings 17 in the various aspects of his ministry that we have looked at over the weeks, his first occasion was the presentation of that sermon, that message to Ahab. Then he was taken into hiding. He went to Brook Cherith. He learned to be sustained. He learned to trust in the Lord. He then moved on to Zarephath. And then eventually he was coming out of hiding. He was returning before Ahab. But what is about to be faced by him as he goes to Mount Carmel, as I say, is nothing like he has ever experienced before. And yet, as we will see over today and indeed next week, Elijah is more than up for the fight. You see, he doesn't go in his own strength. He goes in obedience to the will of the Lord. He goes at the word of the Lord. He goes with the word of the Lord. And he goes for the work of the Lord. And therefore, he has nothing to fear. He enters the fight as he will exit the fight, under the control, the command, and the care of the Lord God, Jehovah. You know, that's the way that each and every one of us are involved in this spiritual fight. When we are in the Lord's army, when we are fighting the Lord's cause, we are under his control, we are under his command, and we are enjoying his care. Therefore, as a child of God, we have nothing to fear. Psalm 118 in the verse 6, it says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" And that's the reality. What can man do unto any of us whenever we have the Lord beside us? Elijah certainly had a fight to face. And what is going to happen upon Mount Carmel is there is going to be a great spiritual battle. And there's only two things I want to leave with you today in relation to that fight. In reality, this isn't really dealing with the fight today. This is a prequel to it. This is a build-up to it. And there are two things, as I said, I want to leave with you. I want you to see, firstly, in the verse 19, the plan for the fight. The plan for the fight. Elijah speaking to Ahab, he says, "Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel. The prophets of Baal, 450, the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." After Elijah and Ahab meet for the second time, and after that slanderous accusation is made in the verse 17, and then it's rebuffed in the verse 18, Elijah proceeds to lay down the challenge to Ahab. And as we read this challenge that is proposed, a number of things are clearly evident. Firstly, it's not going to be an easy fight. There is nothing that is revealed that makes for an easy contest. It is to be a very public occasion. It is not simply Elijah versus Ahab or Elijah versus one of the prophets of Baal, and they're just going into a darkened room, as it were, and going into a secret, secluded place. This is going to be a very public occasion. Everyone is invited. And everyone is to be brought to that place. Every eye is to behold the fight between good and evil. Every ear is to hear the words of the Lord on that day. And it was to take place on top of a mountain. It's to take place in that very public, that very scenic location, as it were, that all eyes could behold. And even just to get to the mountain, of course, you're starting off with a physical and a mental effort. You're starting off by having to climb the mountain just to get to the fight. You're not just entering into something that is so easy and something that is just so simplistic. Rather, it is the case Elijah was going to have to make that journey on foot up the mountain just to get ready and to get to the place of the fight. Some people think today in the Christian life it's just meant to be a flower and a bed of roses, where everything's just meant to be handed to us. And if we're to fight, well, we'll go for the easiest fight, we'll go for the easiest and the softest target, and well, that'll be who we fight against. Elijah, here it shows us a spiritual fight. It's never going to be easy. It's never going to be simplistic. Elijah had to prepare mentally, he had to prepare physically, and there was physical and mental exertion that had to be made just to get to the fight. It wasn't going to be an easy fight. It also wasn't going to be an even fight. If you look at verse 19, Elijah, he says, go and get the prophets of Baal. That's 450 men. Go and get the prophets of the groves. That's another 400 men. And then go and get all of Israelites as well. Oh, and Ahab, you come too. Elijah's greatly outnumbered, humanly speaking. 850 false prophets against one true prophet. Then all of Israel gathered against him also. Then the king of Israel gathered there as well. Thousands upon thousands against one man. Indeed, if you add in then the verses of 23 to 25, it wasn't going to be an even fight either. Because in those verses it tells us, he lays it down. He says, you choose, there are going to be two bullocks. Let them choose one bullock for themselves. Then let them cut it. Then let them lay the wood and put no fire. Then let them call in the name of their gods. And then I will call in the name of the Lord. In other words, they are getting first choice of everything. Even though there are 850 prophets that are invited to come against him. Even though the decks are stacked completely against him. And the odds are completely against his favor. He is standing there and he is saying, right, you have first choice. You choose which bullock you want. You choose which altar you want. You build it whatever way you want. You get first go. And they can take as much time as they wanted. Remember, it's one fight for one day. Not one fight for one day with the prophets of Baal going first. They got as many hours in the day as they wanted. It wasn't divided evenly up that they got so many hours each. It wasn't a case that, well, the prophets of Baal, you're going to have four hours, and Elijah, you're going to have 4 hours. No, they took as much time as they wanted. Indeed, as we'll go on to see next week, they took so much time until the point of exhaustion before they finally gave up. It wasn't an easy fight. It wasn't an even fight. But I want you to see that the plan shows that it's going to be an extraordinary fight. It's going to be an extraordinary fight. You see, every part of this plan for the fight shows us that the spiritual warfare is no ordinary theater of war. Yes, he's going to be vastly outnumbered, humanly speaking. But Elijah would go there with the presence and with the power of the Lord upon him. The God that sent the ravens to feed him at the brook is going to be with Elijah in Mount Carmel. The God who preserved him in the enemy territory of Sidon at Zarephath is going to be there with him upon Mount Carmel. The God who raised the young boy from death to life is going to be with Elijah upon Mount Carmel. It didn't matter the numbers, God was with him. You know, it didn't matter to David when he was a boy and he went up against Goliath. It didn't matter that he went into that valley against the great giant himself and all he had was a sling and 5 stones and his crook. It didn't matter that he had no armor upon him and Goliath had come towards him with that great chainmail upon him and his shield bearer in front of him and the great heavy weaponry that he carried. Because God was with David. Didn't matter to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Didn't matter that the fire was stoked and heated 7 times hotter than the usual furnace would be. They were cast into it, but God was with them. Didn't matter that Daniel was cast into a den full of hungry lions. God was with him. And child of God, it doesn't matter how strong the enemy is against you. Doesn't matter how numerous they are against you. The reality is, if God be for us, who can be against us? Doesn't matter if every different sector of the world is banding together. doesn't matter if governments are going against us. It doesn't matter if leaders. It doesn't matter if the popular opinion's against us, and it always is. If God be for us, who can be against us? We quoted earlier from Psalm 118 in the verse 6, where it says, "The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" The verse 7, it says, "The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me." It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. My, isn't it wonderful? You consider Elijah upon Mount Carmel. He's entirely circled. He's entirely surrounded by those that are against him. Even when he laid down, when he spoke those words, nobody answered him. And all around him, there's hundreds upon hundreds of false prophets. There's thousands upon thousands of Israelites that have no care or compassion for the work of God. They have no desire for the gospel of Christ. They have nothing to do with the Lord anymore. Yet Elijah's standing there, and he's not even afraid in the slightest. He has the Lord's presence. You know, it's wonderful when you consider the plan that was given. Because even bringing it back to this point in verse 19, once again, Elijah, he speaks to Ahab. Elijah tells Ahab exactly what to do. And it's wonderful the fact, and it's extraordinary the fact of how Ahab responds. Because in verse 20, Ahab just simply accepted what Elijah told him. Remember, this was a man that was filled of hate. This was a man that had searched and put all of his efforts and all of his army into going around looking for Elijah. This was a man that could not stand him. He wanted him defeated and wanted him cast off even the face of the earth. He wanted him dead. And yet Elijah came to him, and Elijah told him what to do. Remember, he's king, and yet he's doing the bidding of the prophet. You know, isn't it wonderful, child of God, that our enemies are in the hands of the Lord? Ahab was completely against God, and yet God could still turn him. Ahab was completely against the work of God, completely against the word of God, the law of God, and yet God could still take that evil, wicked king and could just turn him and make him do what he wanted. Oh, how true are the words of Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. No, child of God, that ought to give us confidence in the spiritual battles that we face. Not even your enemies, not even the enemies of the gospel, can withstand the power of God. Each and every one of us are in the Lord's hand. And Ahab was too. Yes, he was the king. He sat upon the throne. Yes, he had the crown of the authority upon his head. He had the scepter in his hand. He could tell his armies to go into anywhere and to do anything. He could tell all of the people to turn and to do his bidding. And yet Elijah came. He told Ahab, "You go and do that." And Ahab had to do it. Child of God, may we never cower away from the battles that have to be faced. Rather, may we go forward in confidence. And even though they're not easy fights, even though they may not be even fights, but thank God, with his power and his presence, there'll always be extraordinary fights. Because the Lord is the captain of our salvation. He is the one who cares for his people. He's the one who fights for them. He's the one that fights with them. The plan for the fight. Then secondly and finally this morning, I want you to see the pronouncement before the fight. The pronouncement before the fight. The verse 21. Elijah came unto all the people, and he said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." People answered him not a word. You know, Ahab goes and he does Elijah's bidding. He goes and gets the false prophets. Now, reading down these verses, it would appear that only the prophets of Baal, the 450, come, because later on it speaks about only the 450 being there. But Ahab, he goes, he rounds the false prophets, he rounds the Israelites, and he brings them to Mount Carmel. Before the contest begins, Elijah takes the floor. Elijah steps forward, he steps forth in the midst of all of that great gathering. He speaks to them all. He lambasts them for their lives. For before him are standing two types of people. In the false prophets and in Ahab, he had people who completely hated the Lord and hated his word. But then on the other side, you had the Israelites. You had people who knew the law, who knew the word of God, and yet they had turned away after Baal. What you have then in those people were individuals who certainly were not worshipping the Lord and were not nailing their colors to the mast for Christ, but every so often they were saying words or maybe outwardly trying to sound like a follower of Jehovah. And that's why he says what he says in the verse 21, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" Because here were people of Israel, and they were just jumping, as it were, from one to another. Yes, they had went after Ahab, they had went after the prophets of Baal, they had went to those groves, they had went to Baal, but every so often something within them just made them say wee lines that brought them back towards the law of God. One commentator, he gave the wonderful illustration. He says the Israelites were just like little birds. Couldn't decide which tree and which branch to build their nest in. And they're jumping from one branch to another, and they're constantly moving back and forth. And they just can't decide, where will we put down our nest? Where will we build our nest? And that's the Israelites in that day. They're just jumping back and forward. They wanted Baal. They wanted that life. But every so often they just wanted a little bit of the old way. A little bit of the God of Israel. You know, there's so many like that today. They want the world. They want all the pleasures of the world. They want just the easy existence. They don't want to be hindered or hassled to come to the house of the Lord. They don't want to worship the Lord. They don't want to have anything to do with it. But every so often, they'll try and act just a bit more Christian. Just want a little bit of religion. Men and women in Northern Ireland today, and even in this community, they just know the right words to say at the right time. And yet in reality, their hearts and their minds are in the world. You know, it's hard to believe that after 3.5 years of drought, there in Israel, that Elijah is still having to say those words of verse 21. Because you consider, and we mentioned it over the last number of weeks, as Elijah came out of Zarephath, there was that sore famine in Samaria. All of the land, there was no dew, no rain for all of those years. Everything was hard. The ground was hardened. There was no water. There was no harvest. There was no blessing at all upon the land in those days. There was nothing but hardship, nothing but struggles. The ground was barren, the harvests were non-existent. And yet, even after 3.5 years of this, yet they never turned to the Lord. They never gave up the religion of Baal. They never give up all of that falseness. They never give up all of that worldliness. They never ever realized and turned completely to the Lord and said, "This famine is upon us, this powerful pestilence and everything else, it's all upon us." Why? Because we have sinned against God. No, they kept living their false lives. They kept living in their sin. And every so often they just come out with those wee lines, as if they wanted to believe the law of God. You know, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and he will love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." And let me say that this morning, you cannot have both. You can't have the world and you can't have Christ together. And even when you consider everything that's happened this year, and you consider all of the struggles, the hardships that there have been placed upon families, there have been those that have lost loved ones, there have been those that have endured tragic circumstances and tragedies in their families and communities, there have been those that have lost their jobs, that have lost their income. There have been many that have been hindered and greatly affected because of this virus and because of the lockdowns and all of the various restrictions that there have been. And yet men and women today are still turning away and refusing to bow the knee to the Lord. Let me say to each one, there is a decision you have to make. It is a definite decision. It's either to choose God or to choose the world. You can't have both. That's what Elijah is saying in this verse to these people. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord's God, then follow him. But if Baal's God, then you follow him. But decide. Choose. You have to come down on one side of the fence. You have to come down either for the Lord or against the Lord. And I say that to each and every one that's listening today. I say it firstly to the believer. You know, there are some Christians today that are saved by grace. They think they can journey through this life with one foot in either place. Yes, they want to be saved, but at the same time, they don't want to give up all of the worldly pleasures. They don't want to give up all of their past enjoyments that they had before they were saved. Let me say that's impossible to live in that way. Leaves a Christian, if they're desiring to have both the world and the Lord, leaves them like the church of Laodicea. Revelation 3 in the verse 15, it's described as being neither cold nor hot. And God's response to that kind of Christian, God's response to that kind of church, is found in the verse 16 of Revelation 3. He says, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Let me encourage you, child of God. Maybe I'm speaking to one today in a backslidden state. Once you walked with the Lord, once you loved the Lord, once you were serving and living for the Lord, but now today you're in Bypath Meadow, you're cold. Let me encourage you, go through with God. Even as the hymn says, go through with God thy vows to pay, thy life upon the altar lay. That little chorus, love to sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Let me appeal to those that are on the fringes of the church. Those that are barely, even when the doors were open, were barely in attendance. And I'm speaking about even before the pandemic even came. Maybe even since it, and even during that time, there's barely any private devotion at home either. Maybe I'm speaking to one who only opens the Bible maybe once every couple of months. Never prays. Never has any desire for the things of God. Backslider today, if the Lord is your God, then follow him. Come back to him. Live for him. Live like him. As I said, there's a definite decision that has to be made. It has to be made by the believer, first of all, but also I say it to the unbeliever. You have to make a decision. You cannot live a life of sin and then act all religious at the end of your life or act all religious even on the Sabbath day. You cannot go living in both worlds. You cannot be enjoying the pleasures of the world and then expect to enjoy the pleasure of Christ. You think of the two occasions when our Lord and Savior went into the temple. Inside the temple, the men had brought all of the worldly activities in, the buying, the selling, the trading. All of the money changers were there, and he went in and he overthrew their tables. He cast them out. You see, you can't have the world and have Christ. And on Saved Today, if you want to follow after the Lord, you have to give up the world. If you want to have the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you want to have salvation that's found in Christ alone, you have to turn your back. It's repentance. What is that? It's turning away from sin. It's turning towards the Lord. That's what Christ came into this world to do. He came not to save the righteous or to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. As I said, that's the first step of faith. It's repentance. And what is repentance? The turning away from sin. It's a rejection of the sin. It's a desire to live differently. It's a desire to live a life that is God-honoring and God-glorifying. And it's only through the salvation which Christ purchased in the cross that you can be changed completely. You see, there upon Mount Carmel, Elijah was calling those people, those individuals, make that decision to choose between God and Baal. Not one of them answered a word. It's interesting because we'll come to it next week, but it's only whenever the fire fell that the cry went up, "The Lord, He is God." Now that fire, as we're going to see next week, the fire points to the cross. And the first step that an unbeliever, a first step that a sinner must make in the path of salvation is to go to the cross. Because salvation was purchased at the cross. The path to eternal life, the path to a God-glorifying life, the path to a life that is found within Christ, begins at the cross. Because there you must have your sins dealt with. And there at the cross is where you inherit that peace with God. So I ask you the question today, as Elijah asked of the Israelites, I ask it to each one. How long halt you between two opinions? As I said, whenever you consider the world today and you consider the mess that it's in, there is nothing attractive about this world. It's barren. It's bare. There's nothing encouraging about the world because it's broken. It's hard. Then why do you desire to follow it? Why, after all of these years, regardless of what age you are, whether it be you've been on this earth for decades, or maybe you're still in your childhood or your teens, you've seen the sadness that there is in this world. You've seen the hardship that's in this world. You've seen the devastation that's in this world. Why are you still following it? Why are you not coming to Christ? You know, there's that wonderful hymn, the chorus of it says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. The things of this earth will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace." See, whenever you turn to the Lord Jesus and you look upon Christ, my, the world's going to lose all of its glamour. The world's going to lose all of its attraction because there's nothing more beautiful than my Savior, Jesus Christ. There's nothing more appealing than the love and the care and the compassion which He gives. Oh, I plead with you in my Savior's name today, will you not come to Him? Why do you continue in a world that's wrecked and ruined? Why are you still halting between two opinions? The Lord is God. I plead with you to follow him. I plead with you to turn from your sin and to trust him. To trust him for everything. We're going to close our service just with a word of prayer. I want to thank you, as I said, for joining us today. Pray that the Lord will have blessed you and even spoken to you through his word. If we can be of any help, do remember at the end of this service, the details and how to contact us always come up on the screen. We encourage you, if you're unsaved, if you're concerned about your soul, please do get in contact with us. We'd love nothing better than to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray as we close. Father in heaven, we thank thee, O God, for thy precious word even to our hearts. We thank thee, O Lord, even there upon that day in the midst of the devastation and darkness. And yet thou didst have a servant to stand forth and to fight even for thee. We thank thee for his fearlessness. We thank thee for that message that he proclaimed, that the Lord is God. And even that pointed message and that decision that was laid down even to the people of Israel, not to simply halt upon those two opinions, but rather to turn and even to look upon the Lord. Oh, Father, we pray that in the days in which we live, Lord, we see there is so much sadness, but yet may men and women realize that there is a God who loves them. There is a Christ who died for them and is standing ready and willing to save them. Oh, Father, may salvation enter into hearts this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.